when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, precious Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on to the second hour. We're bringing in my little sister, the Braveheart, Sister Monica the Braveheart. Yes, sir. And I was surprised she didn't know where she got that nickname last week. Until last week, I told her we brought that movie up. Brave, the name of the movie was Braveheart with,
Mel Gibson, right?
Mel Gibson, right. Well, I took that name, Braveheart, to...
I had known it. I had just forgotten it.
Oh, well, you know, because Sister Monica sure fit that description of being a Braveheart, fighting against all odds.
You're exaggerating.
Well, not really. Totally. I don't think so. But anyway, people, we're going to... we got Ben's, Tennessee Ben. He stayed on here second hour, and I'm just going to... We thought during the break that I would lead off and throw a few topics out there that relate to the first hour, namely with the deep state, the CIA, the NSA, and they're all linked. Listen, I agree with that fella, and this is, once again, repeating myself, I agree with the fella who wrote that book, The Committee of 300. All these deep state intel organizations, he said, originally came through MI6 out of Britain, because they were the oldest. He claims that they're the oldest intelligence network in the modern Western world, and be it the MI6, the Mossad, the CIA, then the NSA. There was one fella who was Canadian, and this fella that made the movie, made the book, The Committee of 300. Said that he was instrumental in running the American intel service to World War II. And come to find out, he was out of MI6. But here's the thing, a few more things. In my opinion, if you take the World Trade Center bombing, and you take the Waco siege, where the people at Mount Carmel were killed, that religious cult out there, the Oklahoma City bombing, yep. All those events are connected.
Don't forget Ruby Ridge.
And Ruby Ridge. And they're all tied together. The one thing that that ties them together, the American intelligence services were all connected into that. Oklahoma City bombing. I had a note here earlier. Attorney General Eric Holder, under President Obama, hip deep, neck deep into having that Oklahoma City, the Murrah Federal Building blown up. He was heavy. And one interesting tidbit, I remember going back way back from memory, because we fly by the seat of our pants here a lot. If you remember Whitewater, I'm sure Ben just doesn't remember Whitewater. That's been a long time ago. When Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, some of their buddies, what was this, the one that got killed in Fort Marcy Park when the Clintons were in office, Bill Foster, what was his name, James Foster, his last name was Foster. He was shot in the back of the head with his own pistol some kind of way. But Whitewater was the Ruby law firm, the one that the Clintons were connected to in Little Rock, and they were doing all this nefarious stuff, the drug running that their drug running was connected to. I'll try to make sense out of this. they were involved and they knew all about the drugs that were coming in from South America. And they were flying these drugs. The guy named, if I remember right, Barry Seals was a former Green Beret flyer. He flew all kinds of aircraft. He flew C-130 transport planes in out of the South American countries. They were what they were doing. The CIA, this all ties together with the Kennedy assassination, folks, believe it or not. They were running drugs in. The CIA, they were taking drugs, and they were selling these drugs, trading them for firearms, for arms on the market, open market. And they were trying to, and they were backing, I can never remember, the Sandinistas and Contras. I forgot which ones they were supporting. But what they were doing, one way, and I'll try this up real quick, y'all. They were telling these drugs and taking them into what, South Central Los Angeles and selling them to the Bloods and the Crips. And really, in my opinion, and what I've read with Gary Webb, there was a newspaper reporter back in those days with the San Diego Mercury Star by the name of Gary Webb. He took 2 years of researching, and he proved that the CIA, a.k.a. Pappy Bush, he was the CIA man, I think, when all this was going on. They had the Zapata oil comp rigs out off. They were supposed to be oil rigs out off the Gulf of Mexico. Under Pappy Bush, when he was head of the CIA, they were flying these drugs in and out of South America. They were using the oil rigs as kind of an observation post. And all, I mean, it got really deep. It did take 6 hours to go through, probably 10 hours to go through all that. But here's the thing. The CIA was taking these drugs into selling them into South Central L.A. They created pretty much the Bloods and the Crips to sell their drugs for them. They were using that drug money to buy the firearms to do their nation changing, their regime changing in South America. Well, that's the same nefarious deep state organization as the same ones that did Oklahoma City. They blew that up because we were talking about this Whitewater evidence that the Clintons were connected to. This is one of the many reasons. One of the many, many things that the reason was that thing was blown up because the evidence that was being gathered together to prosecute the Clintons and everybody that was involved in that Whitewater, guess where the evidence was stored? Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Another reason they did it, I talked about this last year. I got to hurry up, shut the hell up. Another reason they picked Oklahoma City, it was the deep state was going to blow up a building in the United States and blame it on the militia movement, because the militia movement had really gained strength, especially since that Waco thing that Ben just mentioned. It really pissed people off, and people saw just how evil the federal government was. And so all these militia movements were springing up and getting very strong, especially places like the Michigan militia. And so they blew this Trade Center up. Excuse me, I keep calling it Trade Center. They did blow up the World Trade Center, but they blew up the Oklahoma Federal Building, and they picked it. Out of all the buildings, of all the federal buildings that they picked, that they searched, that was the only building that had a nursery in it that kept small children. And that's why they picked it, because they wanted maximum carnage plastered all over the TV, all over the radio. Look what the militia did. They killed kids to defuse the militia movement. But people, this deep state people, they're in that. Blew up the World Trade Center. If you trace it, listen, if you go down and you find out, if you go all the way to the top where the orders come down from, it's always the Jew. And I could go deeper into this, but I got to shut the hell up because we don't have these people on here for nothing. So how are you doing tonight, Sister Monica?
Very, very well, thank you. Just what you were talking about, that's so interesting. And I immediately thought about Building 7, World Trade Center. Didn't Building 7 also contain a lot of offices that contained information that now conveniently disappeared, like evidence disappeared? I'm not sharp on the details anymore now, but I do remember hearing that at the time, that there were a lot of things in Building 7 that would be very convenient to just go away.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do y'all remember?
Go ahead, sister. No, I was just going to say, I was going to encourage you to carry on with Ben, because I know you weren't quite finished with your conversation with Ben, but go ahead.
Well, that was pretty much my part to I was tying all this deep state stuff together, and I'll get Ben to comment on it. And the same deep state, they were involved in the Bay of Pigs. Inspector Jim Rothstein used to come on. He hated JFK because of supposedly he sold our guys out at the Bay of Pigs, but I don't think he did. But anyway, that same CIA and NSA and intelligence, anytime you get in their way, they're gonna get rid of you. And like I was telling the first hour, I told Ben, I'll get y'all's opinion on this. And all this is tied to the Kennedy assassination. I said, this is my rabbit trail, convoluted way of getting to talk about the JFK assassination. I see we're going to a break, and people will come back. I'll try to wind this thing up and go right back to get Ben's intake, and then we'll input, and we'll go to Sister Monica. Be right back, folks.
Attorney Jason Rupp, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. I throw a lot of stuff out there, so what we're going to do, I'm going to go to the young Mr. Ben. He's only 29 years old. He's barely born. And get him to give his input. And I want him, I hope Ben and Sister Monica can come on and get some good dialogue going. And Sister Monica, I hadn't talked to her today or yesterday even because she's so busy, but I'm sure she's probably got some news from Canada too. So anyway, go ahead, Mr. Ben, give your input, and we'll see what Sister Braveheart's got from the new force from coming from off the hot off the pressing from Canada, from Canadian news. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head right before the break, and as we're ending the first hour, I hit the nail on the head to say, with the religious side of things, the Lord's, way of, God is love, but he's also a fierce Lord. And, the alphabet organizations, or as I like it to call it, the alphabet gang, they like to intimidate, but they'll never win. They can take our bread, they can take our butter, but they can't take our pride.
Real pride. Real pride, not their phony. They've stolen all our good words and good symbols and twisted and perverted.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, not that queer shit. We don't get into that.
Exactly. No. But when you said that, it just made me think. There's another one that they stole from us. Like they stole they didn't steal it. They can never have it. The beautiful rainbow. But then they take this beautiful symbol that, and they pervert it into something really so negative, so dirty, so degenerated. And, you know, the mm-hmm. rainbow, it's not only beautiful, but, you know, children love it. The colors of the rainbow, everybody gets excited when they see a rainbow. And what it symbolizes now in today's, I like your terminology, the alphabet soup, this perversion, then it just takes something beautiful and turns it around. Kind of like the swastika, a symbol that has been around for thousands of years, and now it's demonized because it's associated with a false history of Germany. And so people are so afraid of that symbol now. And so many words and symbols, they take them and invert them, don't they?
Yeah. Well, it's like, speaking of the swastika, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the swastika has been a sign of good luck for thousands of years, and it had its own ties here in the American military prior to 1938 when we joined into the military, or was it 33? I can't remember. But it was the Oklahoma. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. The Oklahoma, was it the Air Force or something? National Guard Air Force or something? They're patch on their shoulder was a black swastika inside a dark red maroon patch.
Wow, I did not know that. That's great.
Let's see if I can't find this here.
And like you say, it has been a symbol of prosperity, of love, of light, just basically all good things since thousands of years. And it exists all around the world in, you know, on pottery or in sort of archaeologically. It's been found in many, many places in the world from ancient mm-hmm. times. So I think it's an Aryan symbol, the Aryan people, because the Aryan people have been all over the world that, mm-hmm. you know, they have erased that history on us. The usual suspects have erased that history, and they're trying now to erase our current history too. You know, we see it right before our eyes, and not just the last 100 years, but also right now, current events. They just twist them and distort them, and then they basically pretend it never happened the way it actually happened. Inventing things all the time.
Okay, so I stand corrected on what division it was. It was the 45th Infantry Division of the Oklahoma National Guard. And they were active from 1923 to 45, and from 46 to 68, and then disbanded in 68. And prior to, you know, World War II, their patch was a red diamond, or, you know, a square on its corner with a swastika. And then they replaced it with a gold falcon. And
very
that was
nice.
The symbol for the, you know, the Oklahoma National Guard of all places.
You know, Ben, you mentioned earlier, I've kind of enjoyed, we're kind of jumping around tonight, but it's kind of like that, you know, the week before Christmas. But you mentioned a thing, Ruby Ridge. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
That brings me to another thing to show you how evil that the deep state is. There's if memory serves, the FBI had a sniper. His name was Ron Carlucci, if I'm not mistaken, from memory. I hope I'm right there, Ron Carlucci.
And, you know, you're talking about the gentleman who shot Becky Weaver, and then was also seen at Waco in Texas, correct?
Yes, Carlucci was the one, he assassinated Becky Weaver. And
yep.
I don't know who, was her son, they had a son about 12 years old, was it right like that, and they shot his dog?
Yes. So what happened, just a brief outline.
They'd be in the FBI.
They had federal investigators coming out and spying on them due to an implant from Aryan Nations had Randy Weaver help him saw off a shotgun. They said, summoned Randy to court. Randy gave them the middle finger pretty much and said, no, you know, you're just leave me be. And, you know, there were other issues going on at the same time. But so they were stalking his family. Them being foragers, the dog takes off up the mountain after barking. So Randy's son grabs his rifle and goes up the mountain to see if the dog's got a deer. Well, the federal agent turns around, shoots the dog. And his son, you know, says, F you, you SOB, and pops the federal agent right in the face with a 30-06. And then they, of course, return fire, killing his son, who was, you know, 11 or 12 years old. And over was about a 12 or 14 day siege. They ended up shooting Randy's wife as she went from the birthing house where they had his son into the house. And as she come through the kitchen door holding a baby in her arms, they shot her in the head.
Suckling
that
babe.
Was like day. Yep.
Yes.
Day
a
three.
The baby's nursing.
Yeah. It was like day three of the siege. And they kept hollering at Becky, tell Randy to come out. Hey, Becky, do this. Hey, Becky. Well, little did they know, because the sniper didn't tell that he had shot her, that she was in the house dead and Randy sitting there looking at his deceased wife on the kitchen floor.
And here's the story I got. Also, this Ron Carlucci guy, the one that shot Miss Becky Weaver. Later on, yeah. After it was all over with, this is how evil they are and how arrogant the Sunday bitches are. They said, well, you must not have been able to tell that was a lady on the porch. She was holding a suckling babe. She was breastfeeding the baby. I mean, that's how young the baby was. And you shot that mother with an infant in her arms, a totally defenseless, unarmed lady, mother, suckling babe that could offer no resistance, could offer no danger whatsoever to you. So it must have been a mistaken identity. He said, oh, no, I knew exactly. He said, I knew exactly what I was doing. They said, you know, they're talking about how accurate maybe his stray bullet or something. He said, oh, no. He said, listen, he said, he said, at 200 meters with this with my rifle here, he said, I can shoot silver dollars. I can shoot walnuts. I knew exactly what I was doing.
Yep.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. He got a promotion after that. And I know people may think I'm going kind of round. We may be going, you know, off the trails and stuff. But everything does connect to the JFK assassination because the same evil members of this satanic organization have been has pointed out from St. John 8:44, and he so eloquently said, and we've said it before, and I'll say it again. You can't be surprised at any evil that these people do because people, Jesus named them. He told them, you are of your father, the devil. In his deeds you will do. He was a liar in the beginning. He's the father of all liars. Why could you doubt what we're telling you about how evil these people are? But I was glad that you brought that up. But and that's just one of many. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Thank you for bringing that story back into our memories. It is just so unbelievable. And when you tell about this, I didn't hear about that comment that the sniper made or the shooter made that, he knew exactly what he was doing. So in other words, he knew he was shooting a woman who had a nursing baby in her arms. But, you know, I don't know if he was of the tribe or not, but certainly of the same mindset. But what we have to remember is they are wired differently. Their brains are totally wired differently. So our conscientiousness, our what we perceive to be right and wrong, it's opposite for them.
Yes, it is.
They're wired differently.
We'll hit that as soon as we come back. We'll hit that wire as soon as we come back from the break. Be right back, folks.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This Christmas, gather your loved ones as we at TBN celebrate the birth of Jesus. Enjoy powerful performances by Four King and Country, Matthew West, Danny Gokey, and Natalie Grant.
Shine to the world.
Along with inspiring messages from Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, Max Licato, and others.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
Tune in or stream meaningful programming anytime on the TBN Plus app. Visit TBN.org to learn more and make TBN part of your holiday tradition.
I think most people think when they eat fruits and vegetables, this is their idea of fruits and vegetables. I had an apple today. I had a pear today. I had a banana. That's their fruits and vegetables. They don't understand that each one of those fruits and vegetables has different nutrients than the others.
Merry Christmas. Go to balanceofnature.com and get 35% off your first preferred set with free shipping and our money-back guarantee as a new preferred customer by using discount code BALANCE.
The government is taking some major banks to court, charging them with fraud risk linked to a popular money transfer tool.
A federal regulator has sued J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says the banks failed to protect hundreds of thousands of consumers from rampant fraud on the popular payment network Zelle, in violation of consumer financial laws.
That is correspondent Ron Taylor. Now, two of the banks are disputing the allegations, as is the company that operates Zelle. Since its launch in 2017, Zelle has become one of the most widely used peer-to-peer payment networks in the United States. Drivers and airline passengers better be getting ready. It's starting to look like another record for holiday travel in the U.S. AAA predicts 119 million people will travel at least 50 miles from home. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Grubhub will pay $25 million to settle a dispute over alleged deceptive business practices with the Illinois Attorney General and the Federal Trade Commission.
Attorney General Kwame Raoul said that consumer complaints prompted the investigation. Raoul and FTC Chairperson Lina Khan said Grubhub misled customers about delivery costs and the benefits of a Grubhub subscription, deceived drivers about the amount of money they could make, and listed restaurants without their knowledge or consent. Grubhub has denied the allegations but says the settlement is the best way to move forward. John Scott reporting.
Trouble may be brewing in college sports, just what it needs. Auburn Athletic Director John Cohen warning fans that school could raise ticket prices in preparation for a revenue-sharing model in college athletics that's under a proposed settlement with the NCAA. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, that's one of the commercials. I guess you call it a commercial, a soundbite. I'm not that tech savvy, I don't know, but I'll just call it a soundbite. That was Jock Ewing with Dallas. And I handpicked, that's one of the ones I handpicked because it says it in one sentence. It tells it all. It's kind of pretty much what we're talking about right now. Jock Ewing, he was talking to Bobby, the younger brother, during that soundbite there. If there's a movie called Dallas, I doubt if young people like Ben remembers that movie. He's probably never even heard of it, but it was a blockbuster movie. It came on TV, a series, every Saturday, I think it was. I mean, it was huge, man. It really was. I don't know anybody that didn't watch it, but this has a point, believe it or not. The Ewing family, they had a company called Ewing Oil. They were independent oil people, and they were worth, right, in today's money, be worth several billion dollars because they had their own oil refinery, and they had been wildcatters. But he had turned, kind of delegated some power to his younger son, Bobby. And all these big rich oil men were having a big fancy dinner in Dallas, Texas, a really, really nice place. And Bobby comes strutting in there, feeling his oats as this young guy, and he's telling his dad, "Hey, you took out so many $1 million of the bank account without telling me. You don't make a move without telling me." He said, "What the hell are you talking about? Whose money do you think that is?" He said, "Well, you gave me the power." Bobby, he being Bobby the son, said, told his dad, "You gave me the power." And he started lecturing his dad. His dad stood up and said, "Let me tell you something, boy. You heard the commercial, one of my favorite sound bites. Nobody gives you power, boy. The real power you have to take." Well, folks, that's the way it is with this deep state. If we're ever going to get the power back, if we're ever going to get our government back, based on we the people, we're going to have to take it back. The deep state, the politicians, especially the politicians, a bunch of coward bastards. I mean, they're afraid of their own shadow. We can't depend on them. We're going to have to take it. I kind of gave away outline how we have to do it on the first hour. We the people have to go in and do. We have to take care of business. We have to go into these. We have to go into D.C. We have to go into the NSA headquarters, the CSA headquarters, so to speak, and we have to take care of business. And if I was an incoming president, I hope I don't get too far afield here. If I was an incoming president, I would do what one of the greatest men that's ever lived, if not the greatest, was Adolf Hitler. And it's my understanding, I may be wrong, that the original SS, before it became Waffen, before they were organized into combat units, they were organized as the bodyguard for Brother Adolf, our leader, Adolf Hitler. And that's how they got started. And that's what an incoming president, if he had any cojones at all, he would gather his own Waffen, his own SS, so to speak, and he would go to, like, the Marine Corps, the Army, maybe the 5th Ranger Battalion, and he would request, I got to hurry up and make this. I'm always going to these rabbit trails, but this is a solution. And I would demand, I say, "I want the personnel files on your top 10% of your NCOs. And I want the personnel files on your top junior grade officers. Nobody above major. No, certainly nobody above lieutenant colonel. I would pick these young people, and I would organize my own bodyguard. And then I would go in to the Secret Service headquarters and say to the head honcho, and say, your services are no longer needed. Don't let the door hit you in the ass when you leave. Get the hell out of here, because you can't trust any of them." And then he'd need to go in and clean house, go into the NSA, the CSA, and especially the State Department, and tell them, your services are no longer needed. And if it wasn't a, quote, constitutional, unquote, and if it was legal, it's too bad, so sad, that's what he's going to have to do. That's what we're going to have to do to get this country back, because we're never, ever going to be able to get this country back. But so-called peaceful solutions, we're not going to be able to do it at the damn ballot box. It's totally impossible. Sister Monica.
Well, it was that great American poet Ezra Pound, who they later put into a, psychiatric institution, did they not? Because he was,
yes,
telling too much truth. But he called democracy Jews speak for a country run by Jews. So yes, think about that. It is a rigged system. And we were taught, along with all the other lies that we were taught when we were in grade school, we were taught that democracy is the greatest system ever. And that was really drummed into our heads. You know, government by the people, of the people, for the people. It was really put into our heads as solidly pretty much as the Holocaust. And now I understand so much more that it is rigged. It is a rigged game. And then, of course, when you open the borders and you have basically the third world coming in, just a nonstop stream, as Joe Biden said, and he was really happy about it. He says, a nonstop stream of people coming in. Well, do you, even if democracy was working before, do you think it's still going to work when you have this nonstop stream of people who do not share our culture, do not even want to assimilate? No, and they are wired completely differently. And then you're still thinking that we're going to vote our way out of this? I hardly think so. I hardly think so. I watched an interesting video the other day from an East Indian who, well, he wasn't awake about, you know, who's behind the open border policy. He was very naive on that. But I think he was, that was genuinely just naivete. He hadn't figured that out yet. But he was telling the most interesting thing about he knows he was born in India. That's where he is from, but they are wired differently. And so are the Jews, wired differently from us. Like, we are different from the other races and the other races are different from us. And it is a racial problem. And I mean, here I've gone from talking about democracy and, you know, are we going to vote our way out to talking about how we are wired differently in the brain. And so what he was saying, this man, I'll just give you a snapshot what he was saying, that in general, the white race or the Aryan race, I like to call it different because some people in the normie world think that Jews are white and they are nothing of the sort. But so as not to be confused, you know, the Aryan race does have a high IQ, and we are motivated and driven by a sense of justice. Now, lower IQ people, you could say they are, well, this Indian man was saying it. So, you know, coming from him, from his mouth, he said they are not driven by a sense of morality or justice. They are more like, he said this, his words, they are more like animals in that they do not have morals. They do not have morals. So they are driven by something completely different than we are. We cannot seem to understand that if we have not lived among them in their culture. Like then, you know, when they reward each other and they cheer for each other when they have gotten away with a crime rather than a sense of, you know, oh, that was a bad thing to do. You shouldn't do that. That's immoral. No, they are cheering it for each other when it's not about doing the crime or not doing it. It's about getting away with it. You know, they just run by a different code. And so that's the East Indians. And we're being flooded in Canada with East Indians. This is a major, major problem here. I mean, you just look at the cabinet of Trudeau, who he's on shaky ground right now. There's a lot of people calling for him to step down. And, you know, but you look at his cabinet and a lot of those people are turbaned. Now, what is going on? Can these people be in these positions of power? And same thing with provincial politics in British Columbia, especially. There's a lot of East Indians in positions here. And so what's going on with that? They're putting people on the public broadcast, you know, the CBC, with Indian accents so strong that they've just come off the boats and they're normalizing it. They're normalizing it to our ears, what we hear in every day, you know, just they're either the newscasters or, you know, whatever they are. People with such thick accents and that certain, you know, rolling, how they have their inflections, very different from us. Why are they doing that? It's to normalize it for us, that this is just normal. This is just, you know, that's Canada. Anyway, I really went off, like you say, on a rabbit trail.
It's all connected. It's all connected there.
It is.
it all connects together. And, you know, one thing that kind of puzzles me is how they, I wonder how these Jews think they're going to be able to control all these people once the East Indians do. And it looks to me like, I hate to say it, it looks, if it keeps going, the East Indians, these Indians are going to become a majority in Canada, just like we, just like we have a majority of Hispanics here in the United States. People, we got to go to our last break of the second hour. We'll be right back in just a second. So get you some coffee, but don't stay long.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, it seems hard to believe that this almost 2 hours has gone in the books. But coming right back, I had posed a question before we went to the break. I said this with something like this: I wonder how the Jews, how they expect that they're going to control all these dark racists once they do eliminate. They think they will eliminate the white race. It's looking bad right now, but we're not going to be black-pilled, though. And I got that term from Sister Monica for last Friday. We understood what all that meant. but anyway, we're trying to black-pill you. But anyway, Sister Monica has the reason why these Jews think they can get by with it. So go ahead, Sister Monica. Tell us about what you talked about during the break.
Yeah, it's the Kudenhove-Kalergi plan on steroids, in which the Jews would like to eliminate the races. In other words, miscegenate everybody together so that they have, you know, in the end, that there is a sort of a mulatto lower IQ, soup of people who are easier to control. First of all, if you eliminate the races, you've eliminated their various cultures and traditions, and just install some kind of a degenerated Jewish kind of a mess, and then the people left are easier to control. But no, they will not succeed. They absolutely will not. They have been at war with us for thousands and thousands of years, and sometimes we are in a more difficult position, there's no doubt about it. And this is one of those moments, but we will rise again. I have no doubt about that. And also, I would just like to say about that, see, they have just, they're a parasitic force, and a parasitic force is a negative energy. It's not its own energy. It's a negative energy because they sap energy from us. So they absolutely cannot win this. And at the moment, there is really an explosive awakening. Now, yeah, we are in a bit of a bad position because they have unleashed a lot of weapons against us. I mean, the bioweapon, you know, the COVID cost, I would call it. And they're manipulating our weather and, you know, unleashing all of that on us. And so we are in a bad position here, but they are okay, put it this way. When we are comfortable, we fall asleep. And this has happened before in history. And when we get uncomfortable, that is when we rise up. And I would say that in 2025, things are going to get mighty uncomfortable for more people. It's already very uncomfortable for a lot of people, especially the people in Magdeburg, Germany, where a vehicle, some Arab drove his car through the market, a Christmas market, like happened in Berlin a few years ago. This happened, I think, yesterday. I don't know if you heard about that terrible, terrible thing. I think there's 5 people dead. Yes. and hundreds injured. But anyway, we are getting very, very uncomfortable. And in that state, that is where we will rise up, and we will rise up. People are getting it. The excellence of the, you know, ever more people doing excellent work in enlightening others about it. It is just phenomenal. So yeah, you're right, Eddie. We must not get black pilled. We also should encourage people to get fit. Be fit, be healthy. This is, you know, you're always wanting to talk about solutions. That is a very real life thing that all of us should be paying attention to, is our health and our fitness.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Go ahead. I'm going to pass it on. Oh, pass it over. Pass the torch over.
Go ahead, Ben.
I 100% agree with what she's saying there. Like she said, and I've said it about every time I've been on the air here, get healthy. Know your medical stuff, prepare. It's going to get bad. It's going to get rough, but we have the promise of the Lord that we will win through Christ.
That's an excellent summation. Sister Monica, we covered an article. I was going to get your opinion on it on the first hour. And I pulled it up with my brand new laptop I got for Christmas. I pulled it back up again, y'all. But anyway, it's titled, This article is from I'll make it short, is from the Times of Israel. Probably this article is probably done by a Jew. In fact, his name is Zev Stubb, STUB. Anyway, the name of the article says Reviving Anti-Semitic Trobe. Putin says Jews are tearing apart Russian Orthodox Church. I was going to run this by Monica. We talked about it the first hour. But Vladimir Putin has took a page from our playbook and here at Blood River Radio, and he's actually named the enemy. And I'll read just a little bit here, Sister Monica, and I'll get your opinion on it before we run out of time. It says, he being Russian President Vladimir Putin, said on Thursday he used anti-Semitic rhetoric during his lengthy end-of-the-year press conference accusing people, including ethnic Jews, of tearing apart the Russian Orthodox Church. He says that during the press conference, Putin was asked about punitive measures some European countries have taken against the Russian Orthodox Church. And that gum article just appeared. But anyway, going from memory, I lost my article some kind of way. I got to learn how to use this laptop. But anyway, Vladimir Putin, basically in a nutshell, Sister Monica, said he named the Jew. He said that the Jews in Russia have been attacking the Russian Orthodox Church. They've been using every means at their disposal to weaken the church, to do all kinds of harm. And he said that also Putin said that there was a world has declared war on Russia because of Russian values. They reject that homosexual thing, the LGBT thing. They reject that. They reject porn movies. They reject, sleeping around. Russians like strong family values. They're Christians, and they like being fit. They're like a good, what would be considered a good, wholesome lifestyle like we had in the United States in the 1950s. He said that. He came out, he actually named the Jews by name, Sister Monica. What do you think about that? First of all, do you think that there's a chance, is there any chance whatsoever that any other Western leaders can pick that up, to have the guts to pick that up and actually give President Vladimir Putin some credit and say positive things about him? What's your overall take you have on Putin doing that, Monica?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't seen that article, and on the subject of reading Jewish sources, it's always a good idea to do that, because you kind of get it from their own, the horse's mouth, and see what their, a lot of our research can be from Jewish sources at what they're telling their own people in Israel, because they don't let the same kinds of things through in our mainstream papers in either America or Canada, right? But no, I mean, it seems to me that a lot of good things are happening in Russia, like with their rejection of LGBTQ stuff. And I don't know personally what to make of Vladimir Putin, because sometimes I've also seen articles or pictures of him, praying at that wall that they all go and bow to in Israel, that kind of thing, or surrounded by Orthodox Jews signing something or other. But I don't know. I really don't know. But I still do have hope that he is actually good and he is the real deal. I just don't know. And I'm not qualified to really say so. But for sure, it sounds like a lot of good things are happening there in Russia in terms of rejection of some of the degenerative stuff that's going on here. And as far as any of our leaders here, praising Putin, are you kidding me? No, there's an all-out war against him, which would mean that's a good sign as yes. far as Putin goes, right? If the Jewish-controlled leaders of our countries here are not able to acknowledge the good things that are going on in Russia and to actually say, hey, Putin, he's doing some good stuff over there. Maybe we should emulate him. Well, then, that he's very likely a lot of this is true and it sounds good to me. I just don't know, though. That's it for my commentary on that, Eddie.
Well, I would say at one time, I would not have been surprised if he did go to the Wailing Wall. He tried for years to get into NATO, and they wouldn't let him in. The West, aka the Jew-led West, controlled West, has made it abundantly clear that they're never, ever going to cooperate with Russia in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So I think the evidence would show that he has finally figured that out, and he being Vladimir Putin is a Christian, and he's actually named the Jew. He sees who the enemy is. It is the Jew. He names the Jew. And I think he's realized it's a death to struggle. People, that's the end. That's the end of the hour two of just 2 hours of the book of Blood River Radio. I'd like to thank you so much for coming on with Sister Monica. And
thank you. Happy solstice and Merry Christmas to you both. And to all of
Merry
you,
Christmas.
Actually.
Merry Christmas,
Jay
y'all.
And
thank y'all for
thank
coming
you
on.
Very
thank
much.
You so much.
Bye-bye.
Here, Blood Group Radio people, we're going to transition to the third hour right now. We're going to pick up the Bitter Ender himself. He's going to come in. He's going to teach the graduate level of Confederate history. So don't go anywhere. Be right back.